This is a city where one of the most famous barbecue restaurants is housed in a gas station. So it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that other culinary multitasking occurs.
Order whenever you're ready.
Okay, I need two bowls, one a chicken tomato cream.
And it's the panini bowl with tomato cream sauce?
Yes. And the other one, shrimp spadini bowl with the marinara.
And that be all for you today?
A Sierra Mist. And a car wash.
That's right. At Dominique's Casual Italian Restaurant, you can get the undercarriage of your car cleaned at the same place you get your grub on with pasta and red sauce. This is KCUR Central Standard. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, in for Gina Kaufman. Today, we're going to talk about some of Kansas City's classic restaurants, those that have been around for more than 20 years. But first, food critic Carlton Logan and I took a little field trip to the Northland to check out the Italian food car wash combo.
This is odd because it's like you're ordering the food. How many times do you order food and then car wash? Oh my goodness. And then you get the food first.
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is interesting.
I mean, honestly, I don't know because I've never gotten a car wash here.
Oh, so this is a new experience for
you.
Yes.
Yes.
As we wait in the drive-thru with my microphone in Carlton's face as he drives, it's clear we're creating an unusual experience for the Italian food car wash, too.
I know this is like a gun. I hope she doesn't think that I'm taking you hostage.
I'm being held hostage. This lady's making me buy food and washing my car. Help!
The chicken with creamy red sauce on a bed of shells looked just as appetizing as the shrimp with marinara sauce on its pasta. The Italian food drive-thru car wash experience isn't complete until you've gone through the car wash. After Carlton hands the attendant the ticket, the whoosh and whirl of soap water begins.
As you're going through the car wash, you can start eating your meal. And I can see some moms maybe in the car with the kids, and the kids are hungry. And she's like, okay, go ahead and start eating.
Kids? Shoot, as good as that food smells.
As the excellent adventure of cannolis and car washes comes to a close, Carlton's black SUV comes out of it squeaky clean.
Now, is this the most unusual experience you've had as a food critic?
Yes, definitely.
That was food critic Carlton Logan and I visiting Dominique's just last week. Now, that was a fun experience, wasn't it, Carlton?
It was very fun.
And it was unusual, wasn't it?
Very unusual as well.
So, even though this is sort of a segue from our topic today, I love Dominique's because it's a great takeout place. That location is only a drive-thru. Even though their website says it's been around for 10 years, I feel like it's been around way longer. I feel like it almost could be considered a classic restaurant. Maybe it's because I don't have a memory of not eating there as an adult. But, you know, what makes for a good takeout place?
Good
Fast.
Food.
Fast.
Convenience. Convenience is the number one thing.
All right. Okay. Well, there is a lot to talk about this morning, so we're going to dive right into our critic segment. This morning, we're talking about Kansas City classics. These are the restaurants that are tried and true and have been serving food in Kansas City for 20 years or more. If you have a recommendation for us this morning, and I know y'all do, tell us about it. Call 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCURCST with your favorite Kansas City classic. So I now have my full panel of food critics today. I see you, Jenny, slipping in. How you doing?
Shh, don't tell.
How you doing? It is Jenny Vergara. How
yes,
you doing?
I'm doing good, Michelle. You've been practicing.
I've had a lot of names to practice this week.
No. Thank you.
Carlton Logan, as you already know, is yes. listening because you just missed our feature on our excellent adventure through the Italian food/car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, speaking of classics, Charles Peruga is with us today.
Yeah.
Peruza. See, I messed up your name, and I've been saying your name for years. Charles Peruza, welcome back, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So you guys sent in lists on this whole classic, old school, established restaurant. So we got a baseline here. So I'm going to start with you, Charles, and we're going to go around. If you had a friend visiting from out of town and they insisted on going someplace that was just a tried and true, basic, a stable that's delicious, where would you take them?
That used to be my kind of siren call to take them to the Golden Ox. Which for years was the tried and true place to go. I have not been to it since it's reopened. Jenny, you have.
Mm-hmm.
And does it live up to its old, not that great standard?
Actually, you know, so I think they were really sensitive about the decor and not just totally gutting it and making it a brand new place. It still has all of the hallmarks of the old Ox. But the menu has been reimagined and brought up, I would tell you. So it's no longer just like steak and a plate, although I think they have a couple of those options.
I was about to say, but they still got steak on a plate, mm-hmm. though, right? Okay, good.
They still have steak, but they have some, you know, kind of off-menu options. They've also added a lot of seafood, probably a lot more than the original Ox had, and a wonderful bar that you can sit at and look at the kitchen. They have a craft cocktail bar. They've also added the Ox Bakery and Cafe on the other side for lunch, which is really pretty and a nice choice. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is an update.
They closed for a minute and then opened it back up, kind of looking and smelling much better.
Okay. All right. Well, Carlton, what would you take someone?
Well, we are a barbecue town, and I know it's cliched, but I would probably go to Gates. I have a very long love affair with Gates. It goes back to my childhood. Gates is part of the foundation of Kansas City, so I would probably take them to Gates.
Okay. Which location?
I would say the one on Brooklyn.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
It's funny because I just literally this week I accidentally came across a Facebook conversation about the cultural issue of the, and I'll just put this out there because, you know, it's my last day guest hosting. It was a bunch of white people who were just upset that they have to be put on the spot when they walk into Gates. It just was just hurting their feelings that they did not have time to, you know,
peruse the menu.
I didn't get jump into the conversation, but I wanted to say, it's okay to just say, hold your horses. I need a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's mm-hmm. going to kick you out. It's going to be all
right. It's more of a greeting than a directive.
Yes, it is. It's a greeting.
How you doing? I'm doing all right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Exactly. So, so Jenny, what's your place?
You know, I'm kind of with Carlton on the barbecue thing. If somebody was really in from out of town, to me, it's either barbecue or steak. So if it was steak, I might take them to Golden Ox, as Charles suggested, or maybe Capitol Grill. It's getting ready to move on the plaza and reopen the 1st of August in a new location where the Williams-Sonoma was. And I can't imagine what Capitol Grill would look like with windows, but I think it'll be amazing. And it is a chain restaurant, but Capitol Grill has a long, long love affair in Kansas City, especially with the plaza location. Or I'd probably take them to Arthur Bryant's. I mean, that's another iconic barbecue place, like right up there with Gates. I mean, those two places, if someone just
now,
had never
Jenny,
been.
I noticed you're neglecting to mention a place I just recently went back to, LC's.
Mm-hmm.
It is fabulous.
Oh,
it has not changed a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think LC's does make the cut for 20 years, actually, now that you say that.
Yeah.
Good one.
You know, so has Capitol Grill been around, though, 20 years?
Yes.
Yes. So it's
amazingly,
just,
yeah.
It's just barely. It comes in at 18 years, so we're just shy of 20 years. But
that's right, because Bristol was there in that location, right?
First.
And then that...
Jules.
Oh,
the mermaid.
We're not going
to
talk about
it. I wish I had a picture of that. Like, I wish I had I'd eaten there and seen the mermaid at Jules. But I never got a picture.
We're going to move on in case.
Yeah.
We're going to move on from Jules.
That was a great selfie opportunity, like, before its time, right?
Right.
Take a picture with the mermaid.
So, yeah, and then Capitol Grill. My God. I guess I'm an old school classic myself because all this is merging together now. So Carlton, since we went to a drive-through Italian restaurant, even though I should say Dominique's other location is on up north in 64th Street, and it's not drive-through. They don't multitask. They merely have a restaurant in their other location. What are other old-school classic? And please don't anybody get offended that I said old-school. I just, you know...
In the best possible way.
I mean that is nothing but a compliment. But what's another classic Italian restaurant that's been around for a long time? I'll start with you on that one, Jenny.
Well, I think we have to talk about Jasper's for sure. I mean, he's been around a long time, 65 years. Obviously started off on 75th and Warnell, and now has moved obviously out to the Watts Mill Center and has been out there for many years. But, I mean, he's someone who kind of continues to host interesting dinners. He added the Marco Polo, which I think is interesting, and another kind of lunch option if you don't want to sit down and kind of do a big, heavy Italian meal. But that's kind of what he's known for. I mean, we talked about the Mozzarella Theater a few weeks ago. I mean, he continues to add unique experiences.
Back up. Mozzarella mm-hmm. Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he hand pulls mozzarella at the table and then I think makes a caprese with it, caprese salad with it, which is seasonal and delicious. Okay. But, you know, it's one of those things where he's not frozen in time. He really has tried to kind of continue to move and change with what's happening. So I think we have to give a shout out to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Carlton, you know, other than Dominique's, which is now your new favorite because you can get your car washed also.
Yes, my car is clean.
I love Dominique's.
I know, and the food is really good. Mm-hmm. But what's your other Italian standby in terms of 20 years or so?
Garozzo's.
Yeah.
The chicken spadini. I had never encountered spadini until I ate at Garozzo's, and that's where the love affair started.
I think Sylvia Maria Gross, our senior producer, and I were having that conversation, how spadini seems to be a Kansas City thing in the sense that she hadn't had it before she came here either. And I don't recall seeing it on any menu when I travel.
No.
So it's okay. Kansas City's
their claim to fame is the chicken spadini specifically. Okay. I mean, spadini's been around in other forms.
I thought that came from St. Louis, though.
It might have come with them from St. Louis, well, but it was invented by the family.
Then it really doesn't count if it's just St. Louis.
I don't think so.
Oh, all of our Italian, don't be mistaken. There's an awful lot of our Italian that slid down the hill and just kept sliding until they got to Kansas City.
Get all the transplants.
We're happy to share. We're happy to share the good stuff.
Okay, so what's your Italian mainstay,
Charles? Me? Oh, mm-hmm. I like Jasper's. It's because it's not Italian. That's how I separate the.
That's I know, right? Yeah. That was the way
The red sauce restaurants from the better restaurants. We used to have a restaurant critic here in town who always referred to all Italian restaurants as Italian, and. Used to drive me crazy. There's no place on the planet called Italy.
Stop it. That was what I thought it was until I moved away. So since we talked chicken spadini, that seems like a good transition to talk chicken. So we're going to real quickly run a show about Stroud's that has been done. If that's ready, yeah.
Just off of Vivian Road in the Northland, on a grassy plot surrounded by trees, sits Oak Ridge Manor. A homestead built in 1829, it's now home to one of three locations around the Kansas City metro of Stroud's Restaurant. Mike Donegan has owned Stroud since 1977.
And we bought this place in 1983. And it was a German restaurant called Sandy's Oak Ridge Manor for years.
The four buildings on top of the ridge are next to a pond and fountain teeming with wildlife. Mike enjoys the tranquil view from one of the many windows in the restaurant.
We have 18 acres here, a pond, just beautiful to see with all the geese and the ducks, once in a while an otter.
Stroud's original location was at 85th and Troost. It started out as a barbecue restaurant opened by Guy and Helen Stroud in 1933.
And then during World War II, when they were rationing meat, she had nothing to barbecue, so she started serving fried chicken. But she was kind of renowned for fried chicken because, like, once a year she had a big 4th of July party serving fried chicken, and everybody loved it.
The chicken was popular and quickly established the tradition for which Stroud's is now known. Nothing complicated, just good fried chicken. In the kitchen, Craig Zahler is frying up a batch.
There's nothing special about the recipe. You know, we don't add any special spices or anything, salt, pepper, and flour. I think it's the way it's cooked. It's not deep fried, it's pan fried.
As the chicken browns, little bits of the fried coating fall off in the stainless steel pan. Craig calls them cracklings.
Basically use the cracklings from the fried chicken and add some grease, some flour, salt, pepper, and make a roux, and then just add milk, and that's your gravy.
Owner Mike Donegan says this is a careful, old-fashioned process, and that frying the chicken properly takes time.
Be prepared to wait, and then come right out. It takes about a half hour to fry the chicken.
That was Mike Donegan at Stroud's Restaurant in the Northland, and that story was our own producer, Chris Young, who said that the chicken was worth the wait. So let's talk chicken. First of all, Chris, kudos to getting the sound of that frying chicken all up in that radio story. That's good radio when you can practically taste the grease.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Which one of you wants to start on recommending your favorite chicken place?
I'm going to start because my favorite chicken place, and I do like Stroud's a lot, but my favorite chicken place isn't here anymore. I wept bitterly when it closed.
Now, remember, we're supposed to do 20 plus.
I know.
Are still here. I knew, Charles, you were going to do this.
I knew I was going to do it, too. But Kansas City lost a great, great restaurant when it lost Mrs. Peters in Kansas City, Kansas. It was everything Stroud's isn't. The menu is very, very different. But, man, it was a great place with delicious chicken.
All right. All right, so, okay, Carlton, of places that are still here that are 20 years plus, no tea, no shade to Charles.
No.
What would you recommend?
I would recommend Niecy's. Niecy's has been in several locations, if I remember correctly. I'm thinking of the one on Troost.
Yeah, it has been in several locations, yeah.
Yes.
Prospect, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Prospect. There was one on 63rd Street for a while in the old Briarwood Shopping Center. But I like the chicken at Niecy's. It's seasoned well. It's always cooked well. I always see Miss Myra, and she gives me a hard time. And, of course, everything at Niecy's is good. And I love going in. One of my favorite things about Niecy's is I know what I'm usually going to order, but I like going in and seeing the board as you enter, and you can see things like oxtails and chitlins and things like that. And it's like, ooh. And when you take someone who's never been there, they're like, oxtails, chitlins. It's an eye-opening experience.
It is an eye-opening experience, and I won't even talk about the bed of chitlins that fell off the truck a couple of weeks ago.
No.
We will not talk. We're going to move this conversation
forward. Move along.
So, Jenny, what would you recommend as a chicken place that's been around a while?
I would recommend the Original Peanut south of Maine. That location's been around 86 years. Can you believe that? That's a long time. But they are well known for their chicken wings, which are ginormous. And hot sauce, obviously, kind of a buffalo hot sauce, which is delicious. Nice big platter of them. You know, everyone gets that or either the BLT. So those are kind of the two dishes, I think, that put the peanut. The different locations all over the city have been kind of broken up, is my understanding. And there's kind of some different owners at different places. But that original location just still has the old peanut charm and, you know, an ice cold beer and a platter of good old fried, you know, chicken wings. You can't beat that, man.
Yeah, their chicken wings are good. I have many a good memory from taking a lunch break there when I used to practice law. The original
one south of Maine.
Yeah. That was a good one. Okay. All right, everybody, sit tight because we're going to continue our conversation about the historic and still serving restaurants of Kansas City. So when you're deciding where you want to eat this weekend and have a staple that you love that's been around for 20 years or more, give us a call. Our food critics are going to continue with us. Call 816-235-2888 to chime in. This is KCUR's Central Standard.
You're hearing a culinary time capsule. Stephen Steffes is paddling through a giant pot of ground beef, 100 pounds, with what looks like a big wooden oar. It's a time capsule because this chili recipe is almost a century old. Come with me to the region's oldest family-owned restaurant in Independence. With its red decor, bar stools, and historic photos, Dixon's Chili looks like a 1960s-style diner. And that's when this particular restaurant opened near the stadiums on Highway 40. But the restaurant goes a lot further back than that. Vern Dixon opened the first location in 1919.
The recipe was Vern's recipe, and our chili powder is our own patented chili powder that he came up with.
Vern Dixon was Stephen Steffes' great-great-uncle, and the restaurant was passed down through the generations. It's now owned by his mom, but Stephen runs it.
We always say that our chili kind of comes with an explanation.
The explanation is a preemptive strike for customers who've never heard of this kind of chili.
Our chili is not a tomato-based chili. We cook our meat and beans separate, and it's served on a plate instead of a bowl.
Some people say this dry meat chili, with its do-it-yourself condiments, is a Kansas City style of chili. A couple of other old-timey restaurants like Fritz's Chili in Prairie Village and Hayes Hamburgers in the Northland also make it this way. Stephen is a big guy in his 30s, with a shaved head and a bushy beard. He adds pots full of extra grease to the frying meat, and it just boils.
My next step, I would not like to share with you.
Oh, is that the... Okay.
So, do you mind coming out front for just a second?
I can only begin to guess what happens while I step out of the kitchen. But when I get back, it's the chili powder and the salt. And then...
You might stand back for a second.
Okay.
Just because when it first mixes, it can get messy.
Yeah.
It'll stain you.
Okay. Stephen pulls out a drill with a homemade attachment that he uses like an immersion blender to break up all the meatballs. When he's done cooking, all that grease he added comes back out.
You hear that? That's the grease strainer.
The beef goes into a giant strainer, and he uses pickle buckets full of water to press it out. It comes out light and fluffy and dry. Stephen saves the grease to serve to customers who want their chili juicy.
Well, a lot of the old-timers still say greasy, but we changed it to juicy just because it sounds a little more appetizing.
Some of those old-timers have been coming to Dixon's for 60 years or so, and they say the taste hasn't changed a bit. President Truman was a fan from the early years. Stephen says the folks at the Truman Library told him the chili reminded Truman of the food he ate in the Army in World War I. Truman's favorite dish is still Dixon's bestseller, chili over tamales. That's what I ordered.
Whoa, that's a big serving.
The little tamales are smothered in soupy beans and then a pile of meat. I ask for a little juice.
And then so we give you the chili, and then we have all the spices on the table, like chili powder, vinegar, spicy vinegar, salt. And you kind of season it the way you like it. And then we also have different garnishes, onion, cheese, ketchup, jalapeno relish, sour cream's really good in it. And you kind of create your own chili at your table.
The only thing you're not supposed to have.
And well, Vern Dixon didn't allow ketchup in his restaurant. And people used to try to sneak it in, and he'd kick them out. I mean, he took it real insulting, and he didn't like people putting ketchup on it.
Now, Stephen's grandfather decided he would allow ketchup in the restaurant, but he fined people 15 cents if they put it on the chili. Stephen, though, admits he squirts a bit on his.
I still eat it almost every day. I haven't gotten burned out on it yet.
That was our senior producer, Sylvia Maria Gross, giving us an inside look at Dixon's Chili, yet another Kansas City classic that is going to be celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, sitting in today for Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR Central Standard. Today, the food critics are with me, and they are recommending the classic eateries of Kansas City and the dishes for which they are known. These are the restaurants that have been feeding our city for 20 years or more. While we were listening to that, we got a caller who had to go, but she wanted to, Brooke from Kansas City, wants to recommend Peachtree. And that is definitely an old school established staple, wouldn't you all say?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Dixon's Chili sounds particularly amazing. I can't believe I've never eaten there. Are there any other chili-type places that you guys think have been around for a super long time?
Yes.
What?
But it's not local. I was going to bring this up because if you want Cincinnati-style chili, you go to a Steak and Shake.
I do like Cincinnati style. I lived in Louisville, so I was a big fan of Cincinnati style chili, you know.
Well, yeah. I grew up eating Gold Star chili.
Yeah.
And in Indianapolis, and I love Cincinnati chili. It's more of a meat and bean sort of chili, and very hearty, very different from Dixon's, if you want to compare them.
So, you know, one of the things we were talking about a little bit off air is how looking at your list, the three of you provided some lists, and how I don't see the issue that you see come up a lot today. I mean, all of this seems very authentic. People who created and are known for making the food that would have been their particular culture. What do you guys think about that? Carlton, any thoughts?
I think there's definitely a point to what you're saying in terms of if they've been around for 20 years or more, there probably is a lot more authenticity to what they're doing. You know, barbecue, for example, there are a lot of new barbecue restaurants that have opened in the past few years. And they've all, if you've noticed, maybe changed things up a bit, add maybe some new sides with a little twist. But when we look at these lists, we see a lot of places that are still open that are probably doing things the way they've always done them. And it's very authentic.
Right, they're not jumping on a trend or anything.
They're not jumping on a trend. It's whether it's barbecue, whether it's Mexican, whether it's chicken. It seems to be sticking to an old way of doing it.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that, Jenny?
I think it's a fine line when you have a restaurant that's been around a long time. Sometimes quality gets compromised the longer a place is open. Mm. And so I would say that the places that are really popular that we really love and go back to again and again, you know, we like them because they're familiar. We like them because we know what to expect when we go in there. But it can be a slippery slope if you don't have a good manager in there, like, you know, because food costs change and it fluctuates and, you know, quality of food changes over time. And if you're not mindful of continuing to produce the best fried chicken you can or the best steak that you can, then all of a sudden you end up with this iconic restaurant that there's been a million reviews of and everybody talks well of and the tourists all pack it. But if you're local, you know that it's not as good as what it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that was the case, I thought, kind of toward the end with the Golden Ox. I mean, it needed a reboot and it got it. So I think quality is the thing that people have to really, if you're managing or running one of these kind of traditional. And I think for all of the ones we were talking today, they've certainly been mindful, which is why we're talking about them.
Exactly. Any thoughts on that, Charles?
You know, the changes could be infinitesimal at first. You don't hardly notice. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes really obvious. Mm-hmm. And then they're closed.
Right. And then they're gone.
And some of them, you know, you're glad they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Put them out of their misery.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I find that there are some restaurants where I haven't been to them in years because, like you said, the quality had gone down. But when I see that they've closed down, I'm kind of sad, more from the nostalgic standpoint.
Oh, there's always the gnashing of teeth and wailing when we have a restaurant that's gone.
Yeah.
And then you have to really, I mean, I always say, you have to ask yourself, when was the last time, yes, we love the nostalgic of it. Yes, mm-hmm. We remember the idea and when it was good. But when was the last time you were honestly in there and had a great meal? I mean, those are the kinds of things you have to remember when a place closes. So,
well, that's how I felt about the Pam Pam Room.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was a classic in Kansas City for years and years and years and years. And
I want that just that sign on my bedroom door. The Pam Pam Room.
I thought it was there. but it had really...
On topic, people, on topic.
That's right.
I think, it was a classic hotel restaurant that had seen its better days.
Yeah, right.
Where was this? I'm sorry. In the old
Alameda Hotel.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
It was really...
When
the
it was
classic,
Alameda, back in the day.
The classic hotel coffee shop.
Right. Which doesn't exist.
Which really doesn't exist anymore.
Starbucks has replaced it.
So one of the things I want to talk about, just real briefly, is sweets. I'm all about the sweets and the baked goods. And I know some of my favorite places aren't around anymore, but what are some places that are good for the sweet tooth that have been around 20 plus years?
Well, Jenny mentioned McLean's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And McLean's was always a treat to go to, you know, not for fat boys like me, but I always thought the sweets there were delicious, and it was always a pleasure to make a pit stop there when I could. But because it was a real, real old school bakery with old school icing, that thick sugary icing, and there just aren't places like that anymore.
Yeah, I know. I was
Classic Cookie. Mm-hmm. I think I'm remembering it right. Mm-hmm. They've been around a while. They've changed locations, but I remember when they were on the plaza.
Yes.
And I know they've been well over 20 years, double that, because as a kid, I used to have my mother take me by so I could get the oatmeal raisin chocolate chip. I thought that was like the best, and they were always freshly made. I thought that was like the best combination in the world. And now they're over on Warnell, so they
Well, they've been there at least 20 years.
At least in that location.
It's an old school. Any sweet places for you, Carlton?
One that I recently came to understand that has been around for a while is M&M Bakery. My understanding is it started out as a Jewish bakery, and Pat bought it, I think, after the owner died.
And no, actually, she sold it to him.
Sold it? Okay. So, yes, M&M Bakery. I love the apple fritters there. And I think I've told this before, but my godparents owned a bakery on Indiana. So when I walk into M&M, it makes me feel like I'm in their bakery.
Well, and isn't that just really part of the case with a lot of these places? It's a feeling as well as the food, even sometimes when it's, as you just said, Carlton, it's not the exact place, but it's very similar. Very, very similar. I have to say that another caller who couldn't stay on the phone is saying that Salty Iguana in Prairie Village, if you want some Tex-Mex that has been around for a while, and the person who called in, Courtney from Twitter, that's what it is. Courtney from Twitter says that the iguana dip is definitely the thing to get.
So. Is there iguana in it?
I hope not.
It's not a salty iguana, if that makes you feel any better.
Slightly,
you know. Yeah, they wash it off before they put it in the dip. Does that make you feel any better? So anyway, call 816-235-2888 to join this conversation. We're looking for the best old school classic places of Kansas City. We are specifically looking for food that is a part of Kansas City and has been around for a couple of decades. That's the main criteria. We want delicious and iconic here on KCUR Central Standard. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. We'll be right back. Kitty's Cafe is located on 31st Street, just east of the hip Martini Corner and Cherry Pit Collective, and just west of the longtime nonprofit Operation Breakthrough on Truce. With six stools tightly together at the countertops and some patio seating outside, Kitty's is not a destination stop kind of restaurant. Most of the orders are takeout, and you can only pay with cash. On a warm August day in the Midtown, food critic Charles Perusa and I sit eating on the outdoor patio, enjoying Kitty's signature sandwich.
It's hard to find the perfect pork tenderloin that is soft and not too chewy and perfectly seasoned and a little bit crunchy, and this has all those things.
I'm no food critic, but I agree with Charles. The pork tenderloin sandwiches at Kitty's are delicious. Unlike the typical kind, this is no oversized, overly breaded pork patty hanging over buns that are too small. The sandwich at Kitty's Cafe features three thin pieces of tenderloin cooked in a light batter with lettuce, pickles, and a delicate kick of in-house made hot sauce. Paul Kawakami and his wife Kitty opened the diner in 1951. They were Japanese Americans who moved to Kansas City from California after having spent time in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. The business has been in continuous operation but has changed hands several times with some of the history lost over the years. The latest in a line of owners is Charlie Solovang, who has worked in restaurants most of his life. The business was bought 20 years ago along with the recipes. The restaurant has always been Asian American owned, and you can taste the influence of the original owners in the most popular sandwich, the pork tenderloin, which is deep fried in tempura batter. Charlie makes one to order for a waiting customer.
It's homemade, that's what it is, you know. You know, you have to cut it, put it in, and fry so it will crispy, you know, when you eat it. It tastes different from the one you bought it from Costco or whatever.
I was able to wheedle one secret recipe out of Charlie, the hot sauce.
I got the sugar, tomato paste, and hot pepper. from Thailand, you know, real hot, yeah.
Even though Kitty's is known for its pork tenderloin sandwiches, that's not all that's good, according to Ms. Joyce, a regular customer.
Sausages and eggs, the cheeseburger, the french fries and tater tots off the chain. All the food is really awesome.
On any given lunch hour, Charlie says a wide swath of Kansas City folks come by to get their fill.
They like to eat, you know, so... Yeah, I got all kind of customers, yeah.
As a food critic in Kansas City for more than 30 years, Charles Ferruza finds Kitty's simplicity and family origins part of its appeal.
There's something very comforting about being here. You know what you're going to get. I love that they have the menu in lights on the wall that you order, you know, off of that. And it's a very uncomplicated menu. You know, you have to like fried food if you want to come here.
Karen Patrick would agree with that. I met her one day picking up a to-go order at Kitty's with her son. She's a particular warm spot in her heart for their pork tenderloin sandwich. It was a favorite of her brother's and his last request from his sister before he passed away from cancer several years ago.
And I said, Ducky, you can't eat it. He said, I just want to taste the juice. And I came up here. This happened January 31st, 1999. I came up here, got my brother a tenderloin. Noon at 7 o'clock the evening, he passed. But he got to get him a Miss Kitty's tenderloin.
Kitty's Cafe continues to be a thriving little pocket of fried comfort food in a neighborhood that's changing rapidly. Long live that pork tenderloin sandwich. I'm Michelle Tyrone Johnson, and you just listened in on a visit that Charles and I took to Kitty's Cafe for that classic pork tenderloin. Brings back memories, doesn't it, Charles?
Mm-hmm. It does. Kitty's is so good.
Oh, man. And when you have a craving for that pork tenderloin sandwich, there really is like nothing else that's a substitute, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things you can get a substitute for a craving. Like, I want this, but I got to get it here. But Kitty's pork tenderloin.
They're the only one doing that tempura batter, and it makes such a difference. And I actually kept hearing about the cheeseburger, and I just couldn't get away from ordering that delicious tenderloin. So I finally went with a friend, made them get the cheeseburger. I got the sandwich.
That's a good cheeseburger.
Both are really good. Really good.
I'm kind of with Jenny on this. One day I will branch out.
I know.
One day. Speaking of branching out, because Kitty's Cafe is far afield from this, but there was a place you wanted to make sure we mentioned, Jenny.
Well, we were talking about bakeries, kind of iconic bakeries, and I don't think we can leave without talking about Andre's, which is on South Main again. It's been open 64 years, three generations. Rene Boyer is the owner now of the shop, and you know, it's kind of a chocolate shop and pastry, European pastry shop in the front. And then they've completely done a remodel of the iconic dining room where the kind of the lunch with dessert menu has always been served. It's kind of a pre-fee thing, and it's a ladies who lunch kind of spot, but everyone's welcome. And the new dining room is so well done, so beautiful. It's such a nice homage to this lovely family that's been in Kansas City for so long, serving us all these delicious sweets. So you can still have that, obviously, that special kind of event. But in the front, they've added a cafe, and you can get wine and beer. They've got salads, soup, sandwiches.
It's good coffees.
Yeah, good coffees. It's a little more of a kind of a modern uptake. So they have branched out and really, really expanded their business to kind of incorporate. And I'm one who wants to raise my hand and say, bring back fondue night. They were doing fondue night there for a minute. And I would love to see that come back in some iteration, because it's something the family's been doing since the 70s.
Well, great. Well, we have a couple of callers. Get one. Daryl?
Yes, ma'am.
How you doing? So you had a recommendation for us.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. Hayes Hamburgers and Chili.
North Kansas. They're great.
Yeah, I think one of you had the
real diner. It's real food the way it used to be, diner food, and that's why it's still here. 24 hours a day, you're never going to not be able to go. And
oh,
the people that go through there are a great cross-selection of Kansas City.
Daryl, I did not need to know there was a place to get a hamburger 24/7. I really did not need to know that.
Well, now you do. It's Antioch and Vivian. Antioch and Vivian on the corner. You'll never go by there that you don't see it open. And, well, maybe one day a year they close. But really a great place. And like I say, the people you'll see there and the food you'll have there, you're going to love it.
All right.
I do.
Thank you, Daryl. All right. So, got another one here. Karen?
Yes.
Hey, so did you have a place you wanted to recommend that's been around for a while?
Yeah, Ernie's Restaurant and Cross Lounge in Sugar Creek. They've been there since, I think it's post-World War II, like late 40s or something. They're the perfect old-fashioned bar and grill. still have the decor from like the 70s or whatever, and they have that whole fried menu and the best tenderloin in Kansas City.
Really? All right. Thanks very much, Karen. Have any of you guys been there?
Yes. It really is good.
Ooh, all right.
I don't know if I'd say that they're the best tenderloins, because I've had some good ones here in Kansas City. But they're real good. Really, really good. Now, speaking of tenderloins, can I put a shout out to my favorite old school drive-in? The Humdinger on 9th Street.
It would not be a show without Charles if we didn't talk about the Humdinger.
I love the Humdinger. What?
Okay, for those who don't know about the Humdinger, please tell us about the Humdinger.
The Humdinger has been around since the very early 1960s. Mm-hmm. They serve breakfast, lunch, and an early dinner. Mm-hmm. They serve delicious hamburgers. They serve pork tenderloins. They serve fried shrimp. They serve all of the tacos, mm-hmm. all of those great 1960s drive-in dishes. Oh, and it's when I say it's a drive-in, it means you park, you go in, you get your food, get out.
Yes.
So it's not a drive-through, so to speak.
No, it is. Okay. It is a drive-in, and they do have an ATM in there.
All right.
So you can pay with cash. And delicious tater tots.
Is it just burgers and fries, or do they do other things?
Yeah, they do fried shrimp baskets, tacos, and they do a breakfast sandwich called the Big Kahuna.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is on the Big Kahuna?
Anything you want. And it's on like one of those great old fashioned desolate streets in downtown Kansas City, where every single thing on the street on 9th Street has been torn down, mm-hmm. except the Humdinger.
Mm-hmm. And I have to, in full disclosure, my church is very close, so I grew up going to Humdinger after church, after choir rehearsal, after choral performances. So I'm very familiar with Humdinger. Yes,
I'm preaching to the choir here, but they have the best selection of milkshakes.
Yes, they do.
In Kansas City.
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking I'm going to have to make a Humdinger run as soon as the show's over. What'd you say, Jenny?
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm down.
And there's no seats. One or two bar stools with the counter. So you're definitely driving in and you're taking it out.
Yeah, isn't there a neon sign that says eat it and beat it?
I think there is one, yes.
Oh, Lord. You know, which that does remind me of another aspect of longevity in the restaurant business. Do you all think that there's a correlation between whether you own the building that you have your restaurant in, which gives you the opportunity to maybe last build clientele, build constancy, versus maybe some places that are really super good, but they're renting?
And the rent is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, actually.
You know, mm-hmm.
It really is a great point.
And I think in a lot of the restaurants on our list, you see a family element.
Yes.
Maybe a grandparent or grandparent started it, and the children have continued tradition of running the restaurant.
You know, that's a good point. As I'm just glancing at the list, it seems like a lot of these places are, it is family. He said family owned, and it's the legacy. It's culinary legacy, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So as we're kind of wrapping things up, I know at the beginning of the show I asked, what's a place where you would take an out-of-town visitor? Now, you know, because we're talking the end, I got to ask a morbid question. Uh-oh. You know, and I was sort of reminded of that by that really touching story with the sister from Kitty's, where her brother, that's where he wanted his last, I mean, it was ended up literally being his last meal. I mean, if there was a place that on the list you provided that you just didn't have that much time with us and you just wanted to go, not just eat it, but go to that place, where would you go? Jenny?
I'm going to say Bolling's. I really love dim sum, and I've loved it for many years. I learned about it years and years and years ago when I first moved to Kansas City. I actually was a part of a dim sum club, and we would travel around and go to different dim sum locations. But Bolling's was always our headquarters, and there's something very comforting about and cool about the carts that come by and you order directly off the carts.
I agree. I don't go there nearly enough.
You know, table covered with snacks, and you always try something that you've never had before, which I love, discovering a new favorite. So dumplings and buns and ribs and a little grilled veg if you want, and even dessert cart. The dessert cart should not be missed at Bowling's Dim Sum. Yeah. So Bowling's on the Plaza.
It wasn't even the first dim sum restaurant in the city. I'm pretty sure that was Pine and Bamboo in Shawnee.
And they still do a great job.
Do they?
Great. They still do a great job.
What about you, Charles? Where would your last meal be of an old classic Kansas City restaurant?
That is a good question. A really good question. I'd want a big glass of homemade root beer and a Whiz burger at Mug's Up Drive-In.
Yeah, you did. I saw that on your list. Tell us about Mug's Up.
Have you never been?
I've never been to Mug's Up.
It's actually called the Mug's Up Root Beer Restaurant. And it has been in Independence for, oh gosh, I want to say since the late 1950s, early 1960s. They still make their own root beer and orange drink. I think it's called an Orangeroo or something clever like that. And the Whiz Burger has a big, thick layer of cheese whiz. I love that.
I would too.
And but they're loose meat burgers, which used to be a real thing here in Kansas City, which is where I believe New Way started. Mm-hmm. There's still one in Leavenworth. Mm-hmm. And my last meal would be a Mug's Up.
All right. Carlton?
For sentimental reasons, it would probably be Genghis Khan Mongolian Grill.
All right.
I, of course, love the grill, and I also order off the menu from time to time.
I was going to say, if you were about to go, you'd be wasting your time putting that food in a bowl and having somebody fry it up.
You know what, Carlton? I'll roll you through that line.
Thank you.
I will
thank
put a bowl you. In your lap.
Thank
you. Just, you just tell
in
me what
wheelchair,
you want.
In my wheelchair, Jimmy's going to be pushing.
That's right. I will make that
all
happen
right.
for you.
That thank makes me you. Feel a little bit better because the thought of you having to go.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. I love Genghis Khan too. Yes. But that's a lot of work if you're about to check out.
That is a good place.
I would do it.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. You know what? We have time for one more caller before we move toward an ending here. Mina?
Hi.
Hi. Hi. You had a recommendation?
Yeah. When you guys were all talking about Italian earlier, I was thinking of Bella Napoli in Brookside, which has been a grocery store for over 20 years. For over 10 years now, Jake, the owner, has had a wonderful restaurant there also. And I lived in Italy for many years, and I'm always looking for the Italian, a real appreciation for the authenticity of their ingredients. And Jake is somebody, or Bella Napoli is a restaurant that really gets it. And I would say that's the most authentic Italian in town.
Oh, that's a smackdown. I mean, I think I'm going to have to check that out to see what you're talking about. All right.
Well, yeah.
Thank you very much. All right, this was a show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, we could talk and talk and talk.
We could.
It is nice that there's still some places that are doing well and thriving and continuing to bring us great nostalgic meals.
That's what I was thinking, too, is it's really good that the list is, sure, not as long as we might like, but that it is long. But it isn't, I mean, as much as I love a new trendy restaurant, hey, let's get to the classics. So our time is up. Keep telling us about your favorite Kansas City good old standbys on Twitter at KCURCST. We're compiling a list of all the classic restaurants we've talked about and some we didn't. It'll be online this weekend, and you can get it at KCUR.org. Ginny Vergara.
Yes.
Of Feast Magazine. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Charles Ferruza. You know, it's always great talking to you.
Thank you, darling.
All right. Carlton Logan, hey, writing about food for KC Food Guys and also administrator of the Kansas City Eats Facebook page. had so much fun.
We had
going
fun.
On our adventure.
Yes.
That's a wrap for the day and the week here on KCUR Central Standard. Thanks everyone who has put up with me this week as I have filled in for Gina Kaufman. This show and every Friday show has been produced by Chris Young and Melody Rao and Ann Knigendorf and intern Riley Kester. Silva Maria Gross is our senior producer. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. Have a great weekend.